Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We'll greet you in Jesus' name. And turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. All right. The word of the Lord says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. The New Living Translation says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Notice this, I will do all. Somebody say all. I will do all my pleasure. And the word of the Lord says in Isaiah 46 and 10, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Isaiah 46 and 10 in the New Living Translation. Check this out. Only I can tell you the future before it happens. It gets better. Everything I plan will come to pass. It gets better. For I do whatever I wish. That's right, Sister Remus. You're a testimony of what God says he's going to do, he does it. He even tells us in Isaiah, the words that come out of my mouth, they don't return to me void. But if they accomplish that, whatever I intended it to accomplish. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. If he did it before, he can do it again. Somebody give God a praise. Tell your neighbor, he's going to do it. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Sister Para. Amen. In our scripture setting this morning, God is declaring his absolute sovereignty. Declaring the end from the beginning, and that his counsel shall stand. Now, in our scripture setting, we enter into a very unique situation, Sister Unique, where the children of Israel are bowing down to false gods. In fact, these false gods were the besetting sin of many in that time and that age, and the Lord even tells them that these false gods have to be carried on cattle or oxen, and these false gods are not only are they phony, but they are burdensome to those that are worshiping them because these have to be carried around. And aren't you glad that we worship and serve the only true God, amen, the living God, that we don't carry him around, he carries us around. Amen. He's acquainted with us and he loves us. And so Israel and the people of the Lord were tempted, and they would waver between the Lord and these pagan gods of the land that they were in. And idolatry was the besetting sin at times. In fact, we see the scripture setting tells us in Hebrews to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And so we see that there's trouble and there's hindrances and there's idols that will try to keep us from worshiping and serving the Almighty God. In fact, it's in 1 John 5 and 21 where John writes and says, keep yourselves from idols. And everybody say amen. Our Lord God is not only knows all, right? Right? We talked about that on Wednesday night. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows all? But he is a jealous God. And I don't know about you, but you may know somebody that knows somebody that may have been in a relationship with somebody. And if you were their friend, you couldn't have any other friends. Right? And you guys may not have been officially a couple, but man, she wouldn't let go of that grip. You couldn't even look at another honey, right? And say, well, girl, we're friends. We're just hanging out. But the Lord is not only does he know all, he is a jealous God. The writer tells us in Exodus 34 and 14, thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, right? Is a jealous God. The idols of this world, they come and go. Right? You ever, maybe growing up, you idolize a certain sports star or a certain team, and you would pretend that you were in the batter's box playing wiffle ball, and you're like, yeah, this is me. I'm Babe Ruth, and I'm not going to start naming names, but you would pretend that you were this sports star, and there's idols, there's popularity, there's movie stars, and maybe we haven't used this term, maybe it's an outdated term, but there used to be rock stars, and there's sports or superstars and dynasties and franchises, and but they retire and they get traded, and these teams get sold, and sometimes the players go bankrupt, and companies and businesses and brands will change their colors, they'll change their logos, they'll change their names. People get old. All the young people say amen. Amen. I would have thought I had 120 young people in this place. All the young people say amen. Amen. Some folks get injured. The trends of this world, they come and go. Cultures change. Fashion changes. Right? You remember the days of the big hair and the Aquanet days and ideas change. We know science changes and opinions and perspectives change. And God help us, because our moods even change. Miss Moody. Our money changes. The economy goes up and the economy goes down. There's recession, there's inflation, there's change in politics. All of this changes on a daily basis, by the way. And they're all regulated by man. Man is forgetful. Humans have limitations. But you hear Pastor Pinero this morning. No ruler, no nation, no world system controls God or dictates to God what he's supposed to do. He is the God of all flesh. He will do what he does, when he does it, how he does it. He will use who he does for his glory and his honor, because his kingdom has all power. His kingdom is a kingdom of dominion and authority. God will perform all his pleasure. And that's not a theory. That's a fact. In fact, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 46:10, my counsel stands, and I will do, notice this, I will do all my pleasure. Have you ever gone through something and you wonder where God is in the midst of it? Anybody ever wonder where he's at? And we've got to do as the song says, I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. The prophet of old declared, notice this, powerful. Some of you need one verse, chapter and book for that the Lord is good. Notice what Nahum 1:7 says. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust him. What better place than to be safely secured, not just in the arms of the Lord, but in the palm of his hands. Our God is not a statue on a shelf. He's the God of all creation. He's the everlasting Father. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the fairest of 10,000s to our soul. He is the one that makes a way. He's the one that shuts the doors. He's the one that breathes into life and man becomes a living soul. Can I tell you, if God has done things like that once, if he's done it before, he can surely do it again. Somebody give God a praise in the house of God if you believe that here this morning. The Bible declares to us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God. Anybody love the Lord in this place? Come on, just a few of you love the Lord over here. This section right here, man, you're the amen corner. Anybody love the Lord? Look at that. Oh, yeah. How about over here? Amen. Anybody love the Lord? Oh, that's the quiet section. but check this out. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yep.
And repeatedly, the children of Israel forgot the miracles God had done for them. Whenever a new problem would arise, we would see that they would grumble or doubt the power of God. Yet they saw many signs and wonders and miracles and breathtaking events. And notice this. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 106 and 7, our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not, notice this, the multitude of thy mercies. Notice this. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. He saved them for his name's sake, that he, God, might make his mighty power be known. You know that sometimes God will do something for us for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known? Think about that. Are you going through something, dealing with something right now, facing something, and you're not living for the Lord the way you know you need to be, but it just seems like things are still happening? Well, sometimes, nevertheless, he'll do things for his name's sake that he might make his mighty power to be known, because there was a whole lot of days that you would brag on Jesus, and there's a lot of people that are watching and they see your struggle right now, but they also see the hand of God still. Even when we don't see it, he's working. He's making a way. And if God has done something before you in the past, if he's done it before in the past, he can do it again. Notice this in Psalm 106 and 10. And he saved them. Notice this is powerful. From the hand of him that hated him. And redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And John says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything in according to his will, he will hear us. And so some of us, don't worry, I'll get to the good part in a moment. Some of us fall into the trap that God can only help us with the big stuff. But remember, he's the God of the details. Psalmist says in 147 and 5, great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He's able to meet everybody's needs regardless of the magnitude. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 21 and 20, for all the promises of God are in him. Yes. And amen. And so this morning, I come to just stir up a little bit of faith that we've got to understand that if God has done something for you in the past, or he's done something for somebody that you know of in the past, that regardless of what you're facing right now, he's able to do something for you again, just like he did for them or for you, because he's not a God of respected persons, but he is a God that loves his people. He knoweth those that are his. His arm isn't short, that he can't pull you out of the miry clay and establish your goings. His ear is not deaf or closed, that he can't hear the cries and the prayers of his people. He's not slack concerning his promises. He doesn't break a promise. His promises are yes and amen. His love is far-reaching. His power has not dried up. His word is still true. He can renew some of you with the Holy Ghost again today. Some of you need a good old-fashioned praying through. That'll fix a lot of the problems you've been facing and carrying along from last year into this year. The Lord will, he'll take care of it, because what he needs is for you to bow your head and to bow your knee and say, God, I can't, but you can. And I know you filled me with the Holy Ghost way back over here. And some way, somehow, I got it twisted. I got carnal. I got frustrated. I got bitter. I got lukewarm. But I'm here, God. I'm going to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, will you create in me a clean heart? Will you renew a right spirit within me, God? If you've done it before, you can do it again, Lord. Here I am. I'm ready. I'm available. I'm tired of playing games. But God, I'm here. Do it one more time. Do it again. There's a couple, a family that I know very well, very, very, very well. And the beautiful family of now grandchildren are involved, but husband and wife lived for the Lord, and husband had a situation, some situations in his life that he was facing, some addictions and such, and these were both folks that lived in the church, lived for the Lord, had been in the church. They didn't live in the church, but they have lived for the Lord, and both filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And one was raised in the church, and the other had lived for the Lord for some time. But somewhere along in their relationship with one another, things got twisted, and unfortunately, they ended up in divorce, and they never stopped serving the Lord, and they never stopped loving each other. But life happens, and they had two beautiful girls, and one thing led to another, and so they found themselves divorced, and they still went to church, just went to separate churches, but God began to work on them, and they began to get professional help and counseling, and they began to pray and fast, and they began to get desperate because they didn't want to be a statistic. They didn't want their daughters to be in that type of environment where, as you know, things happen. And so they begin to pray and they begin to fast. They begin to ask God to repair and restore some things. And after being separated and divorced for 5 years, they remarried and they got back together. They're living for the Lord still. And not only are they grandparents, and they broke a generational cycle of divorce, but their grandkids are living for the Lord. Both of their children are living for the Lord. Both of their daughters' husbands are in ministry. One's a licensed minister, and now this family are all involved in ministry. Why? Because they had understood that God, there's some things that you've done in the past, and we as humanity, we get things twisted and messed up. We bring a lot of baggage into relationships, and they got their mind made up, and they got desperate and said, Lord, if you've done something in the past, here we are today, you can do something in the future. I've come to tell somebody this morning that the Lord, if he did it for them, he can do it for you today. If the Lord can save a prodigal son and make him a pastor of a church, what could God do today for some mamas and daddies that would say, oh Lord, I'm believing not if, but when they come back, I'm believing if and when my husband prays through, if and when my kids walk into this place. Oh, if he did it before, he can do it again for somebody. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody believe that the promises of God are in him, yes. And in him, amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not regulated by culture or finances or money. If money is what makes you happy, then not having money is going to make you. Oh, yeah. Money will only make you more of what you already are. Psalmist says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Some of us need a spiritual reviving to awaken out of the sleep of apathy and arise to newness of life in the spirit. The psalmist asked in Psalm 85 and 6, Will thou not revive us again? If you had the joy of the Lord once before, you can have the joy of the Lord again. Because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. My God has been good to me. And if he's been good in the past, he'll be good again today. And this is the day that the Lord has made. He'll be good tomorrow. Some of us need to remember what God has done. You need to remember what God has brought you from, where he's taking you to, what you're going through. And if he's done it before, he can do it again. He can put the love back in your heart. He can give you your joy back. He can give you your step back. He can give you your dance back. He can give you your ministry back, because that's the God that we serve. He specializes in doing it again and again and again. In sickness, he's healed me. That's what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 103:3. Forget not his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases. Anybody have a testimony? Say that I'm a witness of the Lord's healing power. Got some physical pain in your body? Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 17, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Thou art my prayer. Can I tell you, we know some things happen while you're praying, but a lot of things happen while you're giving God the praise. Come on, somebody. I'm working. Well, I'm not going to tell you what message I'm working on, because when I preach it, you'll be like, oh, you already told us. But there's some things we're waiting for, and the Lord's waiting on us and said, if you would just praise me. Sometimes it's like the credit card with our praise. We got to charge it up and say, Lord, I'm laying up praise and worship in heaven in advance for all the things I don't even know yet you're doing, but you're doing it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. You know, if I had a, Sister Martinez, if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me, but Pastor, my situation is different, I'd be really rich right now. Listen, your situation may be different to you.
Right.
It may be unfamiliar to you. In fact, it may be something that you've never experienced in your childhood, and you've seen it in your parents or your grandparents. But remember, the Lord knows all. And if he's done it before for somebody, he can do it again for you. In financial adversities, listen, over and over, every year after stewardship missions conference or services, we get to hear, and we hear sometimes, whether it's at testimonies at ladies' gatherings or men's gatherings, or sometimes I'll share something of the Lord meeting a need for an individual or family that stepped out in faith. Well, that's the God that we serve. Just, if he's done it once, he'll do it again. And if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then it's going to be okay. But if you're not, then that's your bad. Because the Bible says you're cursed with the curse. And when God curses you, I mean, really, it's no bueno, right? But Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with some of thy substance and with all thy... No, it doesn't say that. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with some of the first fruits of all thy increase, right? with all, with the first fruits of all thy increase. Notice this. So that thy barns be filled with plenty, thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's the God that we serve. You do what you're supposed to be doing, he will do what we cannot.
Amen.
The psalmist tells us again, but God is my helper. Over and over and over again in the scripture, we read of the needs of provision being met for God's people. Manna falling from heaven, right? Pan dulce coming from the. They're like, what is it? It's angels' food. It's manna, right? Ravens feeding the prophet. Water coming out of a rock. This wasn't a rock in somebody's backyard in a fountain in a swimming pool. This was a rock in the middle of the wilderness, and water came from it. How about the lady with the oil? Never running out. The little boy's lunch. Right? Pack me a lunch like that. Man, fishes and loaves that filled a multitude. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 4, my God shall supply some of your needs. My God shall supply some of your needs based on the hours that you work every week. No. All your need according to his riches. And how many of you know God's not broke? He's not broke. Can I get a witness, any elders in here, and say, God's not broke, Pastor? Never has been. Never will be. And in crisis situations, he's been a waymaker. Like many young men in Israel, David worked as a shepherd. He was the keeper of the sheep. I mean, what kind of a job is that for a young man, right? It's not very social. But he was responsible to look after the sheep. His job was to protect them. And lions and bears were part of, still are today, some of the fiercest wild animals and biggest wild animals. And they were common in the land of Israel in Bible times. And David wasn't pretending that there was no danger. He knew. And we come into a story about David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 37. But when you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 15, David, it says, went to feed his father's sheep. David, here's a biblical principle. David was about his father's business. So we come into Samuel, 1 Samuel 17 and 34. Notice this. The word of the Lord says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and a lamb, and took the lamb out of the flock. Notice this, verse 35. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Notice verse 36. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. How do we know? This is not a trick question. How do we know that David, up until this point, how do we know that David killed a lion and a bear? If you're reading your Bibles, you would know. Because David told us. David shared this story with the king. Listen. That was a private battle that took place that nobody saw. Right? Think about this. Because when the man of God came to his father, to David's house, David was not welcomed and asked, hey, the man of God's coming to anoint one of you guys as king. David was stayed out with the sheep. Mm-hmm. You would think that if you had a son that killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands, you'd be like, oh, I know who you're going to anoint for sure, because this dude is bad. We know why this happened, because David shares it and said this is why it's happened. Listen to Pastor. There are things that God has done for you that nobody knows about. Some private battles, private prayers, trials and tribulations that the Lord knows. And God has put you through those things because somewhere down the road, that's going to be a testimony for you for the next giant you're going to be facing. And if God's done it for you before, He can do it for you again. Oh, yeah. Those men were trained soldiers, and they were afraid. And this is what David said. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36, I think it is. Verse 37, 36, there we go. And who verse 36, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Hey, there's a whole lot of talk about a whole lot of things. But the church of the living God will stand. It's invincible. It is the church of God. He's going to build his church, and we are his people. They can talk. We went through it, and we're going to go through some more here pretty soon, pretty quick. You hold on. But can I tell you that he had defied the armies of the living God? Hey, we've been enlisted in the Lord's army. We're God's people. And if God took care of a shepherd boy back then, he's going to take care of his people here today. Can I tell you? You know why? Because in 1 Samuel 17 and 47, David says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Some of you need to look at the giants in your life and say, you know what? The battle's the Lord's. My job is to trust, to worship, and to obey. And if God's done it before, he's going to do it again. Can I get a witness from somebody? You're going through all kinds of nonsense that would stand and say, I get it. I see it. The battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. What about Esther? Esther could have faked her way. She was in the right. She could have pretended like, oh, yeah, I look good, and here I am. But she understood.
Yeah.
I was called for such a time as this. How about Daniel? All he had to do was just bow. Why pray with the doors and the windows open? Close the windows, close the curtains, and pray. But the Bible says Daniel did what he's always done. And he went to the lion's den. And the lions couldn't stop his prayer. Can I tell somebody here this morning, if God did it for Daniel, he could shut the lion's mouth of your boss on your job, on the haters on the job. Come on, come on. The torment that's taking place in your home, he could shut that out. You better tell somebody next time they start getting crazy, you say, you better be careful because I have a relationship with the Lord and I'm going to start praying for you. You talk real big right now. What if the Lord stops your... Just saying. Remember the works of the Lord. Surely, the psalmist says, I will remember thy wonders of old. We have got to go through what we would remember the old school days of a photo album. We've got to go through the photo album of our testimonies.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen. Trophies. Yeah. Anybody still have trophies, right? They even make those anymore. But you got to go look at the trophies of the answered prayers.
Yeah.
I remember when.
Yeah.
Mm. But God, I remember when this took place. But God, I remember when that took place. But God, I remember when it was down to this. But what we did, me and your daddy, we prayed and God made a way. I remember when we spent 14 weeks at the gazebo and we split the church up. And now look at us now, two services filled up, church has grown, lots going up. But God, who is rich in mercy. I will remember the works of the Lord. It would do some of us a whole lot of good to remember the works of the Lord in your life. Our God is so awesome. The Bible says that he tells us he's going to do a new thing. And this is so amazing. He says, I'll even make a way in the wilderness. Who does that? God. And rivers in the desert. And in the storms of life, he's been our shelter. Shelter is a place of refuge. It's a place of safety, a place of trust. In loneliness, he's been your friend. He's been confidential. He's been trustworthy. Songwriter says, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? God. When the storms of life are threatening, who do I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? Is there a refuge in the times of tribulation? His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Psalmist tells us, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Blasted on social media. Right? Stay home, cry. Unfriend everybody. No. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Can't speak for you, but for me. And a strong tower from the enemy. In distresses, he's been our firm foundation. Psalm 107 and 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Listen, you fall, you get back up, you repent, you move forward, and don't look back.
Amen.
And declare, forward and fast forward movement, therefore I go. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? Mr. Parra would come. Listen. Tell your neighbor, listen. Tell him, listen. ¿Cómo se dice listen en español? Escucha. I'm hearing two different ones. I'll go back to English. Listen. The testimonies of the Lord are not just for one generation or just for the Bible. It's not. How many understand that we're a Book of Acts church? How many understand that?
Amen.
Right? Acts chapter 2 is our beginning. And there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. And the book, I've taught this before, the book of Acts does not have an ending like most of the New Testament does. The book of Acts is a continuation because we are writing those verses and chapters now.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Where would we be today if Paul and Silas just threw in the towel in Acts chapter 16? Said, oh no. We're in jail. I got arrested for something I didn't do.
Come on, Pastor.
I got arrested for telling somebody about Jesus. Where would we be? We wouldn't have this song that says, shake the foundations with praise, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But that's a testimony.
Yeah.
They now don't anybody go get arrested. Please. Tell your neighbor, don't get arrested. Pastor won't come see you, right? But listen. What you're facing, what you're going through, what you face, what you go through, some people see it, some people know about it, some people don't, some people will never know. But that is a stepping stone.
Amen.
Step on the ladder. Testimony.
Yep.
That if God did it once, He can do it again. If He's healed you once, He can heal you again. If you've healed somebody with cancer once, He can heal somebody with cancer again. If He's put one marriage back together, come on, somebody. If He's anointed you once, He can anoint you again. If He's blessed you once, He could bless you again. Come on, somebody. If you lost your joy once and you got it back, you can get your joy again. Come on, somebody. He's the God that specializes in again and otra vez, again and again and again and again. Come on, somebody. If you said, you know what? I know what to do. I got to repent. I got to get right. I got to throw some stuff away. I got to delete some friends. I got to delete some number. Hey, you did it once. You can do it again. Come on, somebody. You want to get to heaven? You know what it takes. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Pastor, you haven't told me something. Told me to stop doing this, stop doing that. Hey, why do I? You want a list of stuff? That's not a relationship with the Lord. Let's stand. But a relationship with the Lord is if I love Him, I keep His commandments.